Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. Today's show, we are going to be discussing line movements, futures odds, value, wagering theory, wagering strategy, and anything else that may arise. This program and the website, CoverThatSpread.com, is for entertainment purposes only, and any questions regarding the legality of gambling and online wagering should be directed to your local and state legislative offices. However, if you do have the ability and wish to place wagers with a licensed bookmaker, please do so responsibly and be sure to square up with Uncle Sam on April 15th. Sports wagering, just like any risk-based investment, for example, options, derivatives, or even hedge funds, all these can lead to losses, and you must assess your own risk tolerance before you start.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Week 6 in the NFL. Can you believe we have already made it through a third of the season? This is crazy. We've also got Week 7 action in college football. We've got tons of soccer stuff today. We've got MLB playoffs going on. There is enough sports going on for all of you gambling junkies out there who have nothing better to do with your time than to listen to this show. So, with that being said, I am your host, J.A., and I am joined by my soccer companion, my basketball guru. I don't even know what else to call you at this point, but we'll just call him Catracho. How's it going today, my friend?
All right. Let's get on with some sports talk. Like you said, lots of soccer. We got Week 9 going in. The English Premier League, we got the Brazilian League getting ready to wrap up over the next few weeks, MLS as well, and some of our international games to recap that took place over the last week and a half. Other than that, looking forward to speaking about some NFL and NCAA football, and do a little recap of the Cubs finally making it to the NLCS.
I knew that one was coming up. But before we get to baseball, let's talk about some of those international matchups you were talking, because the U.S.-Mexico game, that was that big match this weekend, and didn't look too good for the U.S. What happened in that game?
Yeah, the defense for the U.S. was just all out of sorts for most of the game. A lot of the guys were playing back, especially in the midfield, so we didn't have the ball getting up into our offensive half very often. When we did get some nice goals, but we were always playing a little bit of catch-up, and that really caught up to us at the end of the game there and allowed Mexico to just take over and win it.
So are you saying the goal should always be balls up?
Yes. That's right. We always need to be balls up.
All right, because if this show needs a motto, I think it's balls up. I think we just solved it.
All right.
So what else we got going on in soccer right now? Is it another transitional week with Premier League?
Yeah, we got Premier League back in action. I know we had discussed it before, but there are international breaks that most of the leagues take outside of the MLS. So with that being said, there are some injuries that took place when these guys go report for their national teams that do have an impact on what happens when they come back to their club. So some of the smaller clubs that might have, you know, one standout that plays for Nigeria or some country like that, when he comes back to his club team, they're without that goal scorer or that main midfielder playmaker that they normally rely on. So that takes a toll on some of the games. That's why a lot of them, I know when I sent them to you today, was win or draw. Really depends on how we get up closer to Saturday and see if those injuries are severe enough for them to miss a game or if they may be just limited in action and they can kind of be used as a decoy in some of those matchups.
Now, I don't quite understand when I'm watching games, like how all of the substitution works. Is it pretty much free substitution just like in a basketball game or a football game where you can just run guys in and out whenever?
So for league matchups and FIFA sanctioned tournaments like the World Cup, Confederations Cup, or even as we saw on Saturday with the U.S.-Mexico being the CONCACAF play-in to make the Confederations Cup in 2017, those games are regulated to three substitutions for that full 90 minutes. Even if it goes into overtime, you still only have those three substitutions for the whole game. Now, in friendly matchups or even in high school here, there's unlimited substitution. So you can even send a guy back in like in basketball. You know, you take him out, let him get a little breather, and then you're throwing him back into the game a couple minutes later.
And what's the purpose of only having three substitutions other than to keep the game moving along?
I think that's a big part of it, definitely, is to keep the game moving along. I can't say that I know the exact reasoning behind it because there is a lot of showmanship sometimes, especially when the game is nearing its conclusion, where there may be a minute left, and in order to kind of stall the time, you know, the team that's winning will make a substitution. So the guy will take a long time to kind of come off the field and, you know, take some time off the clock, and then finally when the ball's back in play, instead of having a minute left, you might only have 30 seconds left, 20 seconds left, and, you know, not a lot of time to really get something going.
And then what do we like this weekend? What are you looking at? I know you gave me a long list of plays. What's like your top plays? What are you targeting right now?
Definitely like Arsenal at Watford. I believe that, you know, that minus 178, I believe it was when I sent it out. That one is a good one. Like I said, Arsenal was my pick to win the league at the beginning of the season. They kind of stumbled over the first 3 weeks. Manchester City came out just spanking everybody. But now roles have kind of reversed, and Arsenal's in second place and just 2 points behind Manchester. So we're looking at them to win this weekend at Watford. The other game, Stoke at Swansea on Monday. Right now, Swansea is even. It's kind of been a little bit of a disappointment to start the season, but they are at home, and Stoke is one of the bottom feeders. So I like them to turn it around. They do have a healthy roster right now, so we'll be looking at them. That's an even bet right now. Another one, Manchester United at Everton. So everybody knows our favorite U.S. goalkeeper, Tim Howard. He is the goalkeeper at Everton. Manchester United has struggled a little bit over the last couple weeks with Michael Carrick and Wayne Rooney both being injured. Neither one of them featured for England during that international break, so they're hoping that they're both fit. But we'll be watching that one as it gets a little bit closer to the weekend. But we're looking at a draw in that game, and that's paying plus 243 as of right now.
I like that. I like that number. That'd look good Sunday morning when you wake up and you see what paid out in your account. So, all right. So we've got a lot of soccer action. You're going to keep everyone posted with your through Twitter at TheCatracho, TheCatracho. I will try to keep up with them the best that I can. So, you know, if you guys are following me as well at Cover That Spread, spelled STRD, you will get in on that action as well. Now, you had mentioned the Cubs in the monologue, and I thought it was a real nice 2 day showing that the Cubs had at Wrigley, and where did they go from here? Because we look at the struggles that they had putting runs on the board in the 2 games in St. Louis. Now, whoever they end up playing, if it's the Mets or the Dodgers, they're going to be on the road the first two games. So it's going to be a question of how much offense can they generate going against either Kershaw and Greinke, or possibly, let's see, maybe DeGrom. Maybe they're going to get Matt Harvey. Whoever they end up getting in those first two games on the road is going to be a pretty tough matchup for them. So I'm, you know, as excited as I am about what that offense did, you know, now you've got to start looking at this next round, and starting those first two games on the road is going to be difficult, because we saw that they struggled outside of Wrigley for a lot of stretches this year. You know, they definitely did pretty well on the road, but they had their struggles scoring runs. The good thing that they have going for them is it doesn't seem like the Dodgers have been really generating a whole lot of offense. And you can even say the same about the Mets here. So minus that 13-run outburst that they had in Game 3. So if you're looking to bet the Cubs in this next round, how would you approach it right now? Because personally for me, I like doing the first five innings and taking either the underdog or the favorite minus the half point. So you basically have to have them win the first five innings. How are you looking at playing a potential Cubs games 1 and 2 in the NLCS?
Yeah, definitely. Just like you said, they had quite a few times during the regular season where they really struggled to put the runs on the board. I do think that, you know, they won't necessarily – I think it was Kershaw. They probably won't have to face at the beginning of the series to open it up. They may have to face Greinke. I like them going up against the Mets myself. I know a lot of other people have said that the Mets are kind of the better team top to bottom. I just like it because of the fact that there won't be much travel involved. And I think that, from my understanding, that they don't have the pitching that the Dodgers do. I think that the Cubs could definitely struggle. You know, they've been hot as of late over the last three games, putting some runs on the board, but really just those two at Wrigley, like you said. So definitely looking at the first five innings is a good play in my book. I know you've been right on with a lot of them, and I am definitely hoping that that pace continues, so that way my pocketbook looks a lot bigger as we continue through this playoff. But I like the Cubs. You know, at the beginning of the season, I know in a few conversations that we've had, I didn't expect too much from them. Being a Cubs fan my whole life, I've gone through a lot of disappointments, specifically in 2003. So I wasn't looking for them to make too much noise, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. You know, my expectations still aren't that high because of that five-year plan that Theo Epstein, you know, implemented when he first came to the Cubs. Definitely ahead of schedule with them making the playoffs and obviously the NLCS this season. But whatever the outcome is, I'm going to be happy, but I'll ride it as long as I can.
Last year on this very show, right after the Joe Maddon hiring, I did say the Cubs will make the playoffs this year, and that has come true. So I'm happy that, you know, for my prediction sake, that, you know, I basically just stuck with Maddon. I knew that things were going to come through for them. We've got Game 5, Dodgers-Mets. It's in Los Angeles. The Dodgers are favored in this game tomorrow. I don't want to play the run line in this one for the full game because it's, you know, you got two of the best pitchers in the league going into Game 5. Make or do or die situation here. Over-under is at 6. Under is slight favorite right now. And let's see if we've got any first five inning lines yet. We do. So the Mets, first five innings, plus 135. You can get the Dodgers at minus 160. I'm going to have to take a look at these because, I'll be sending these out tomorrow to everybody. I haven't had a good enough chance to take a look. I do like the Dodgers in this game. I like Greinke. Just off the top of my head right now. So you know, we'll see where this one falls out. But I will be sending those plays out to our clients. So you guys, if you want to get in on this weekend's action, send me an email to spread@coverthatspread.com. I'll get you guys hooked up. We have another game going on today. First pitch is at 8:05, the Astros at Royals. The two plays that we are on in this one, Astros plus 122 for the entire game. I think the Astros are going to win this one. That's a two-unit play. And then we've also got the over 7.5 runs. That is a two-unit play as well. I think this game, we'll see a lot of scoring just like we did in game four. Both teams kind of going all out knowing that this is the end of their season if they lose. So, again, that is Astros plus 122. That's a two-unit play. And over 7.5 runs, that is also a two-unit play. On to college football. We've got week seven action going on. Did you see any of that game last night, Catracho?
I did not see much of that game at all. Unfortunately, I had some other things going on.
I decided last minute after I said I wasn't going to play the game that I did like my numbers on South Alabama. I saw the line moving a little bit. So I said, you know what, let's make this one official. So I jumped on. I just made an official play. That was the worst 5 minutes of football I think I've ever watched played. I turned the game on from watching the Dodgers, and I wanted to see what the score was. It was 31-20 with about 12 minutes, 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. South Alabama's winning, and not only are they winning, they're up by 11. So even if they gave up two touchdowns at the end, they would still be only down by 3 points, and having them plus 3.5 would mean they cover. Happy. That did not happen. And this turned into a mega disaster. They gave up four touchdowns in a five-minute span. Two defensive touchdowns, a long touchdown on a pass, and then a short touchdown set up by another turnover. This team, I've never seen a team implode like that. This was a terrible game, and I paid for it. Luckily, it was only a two-unit play, so not a big deal in the long run. Just one of those, like, shake-your-head moments where you have a number on a game, you turn it on, it looks good, and within 5 minutes of real time watching it, it just turns into an absolute disaster. So that is why you have to be careful with these weekday games, especially the ones with the smaller schools. Now, tomorrow, we've got a couple of games that we're going to be playing. First one I wanted to talk about with you is Auburn versus Kentucky. Auburn's coming into this game at -2, and actually maybe up to -3 by now. We played it at -2. It's a three-unit play for us, so go ahead and get in on that if you guys can get in on it. I still like it at -3. But we talked at the beginning of the year about Auburn and LSU kind of being those SEC dark horses that we could see making a good run. We have not seen that out of Auburn yet this year. Is that going to be different tonight against this Kentucky team that's kind of overachieved but also hasn't really hit much of a challenge on their schedule yet? Is this where Auburn turns it around?
You know, I think there's definitely a possibility that Auburn can turn it around. I was never big on Kentucky. I know you liked them a little bit, especially in a few of the games that we had talked about earlier. I'm really hoping that this is the one that Auburn can turn around. I think that spread is definitely a favorable one for them. So I'm ready to put my money on them and see what happens.
All right, we've got three units going down there. I think it's I don't want to call it a safe play because they're on the road and, you know, it's a conference matchup and they haven't played very well, but I just get the feeling like this is that point in a team season where they get really undervalued. And we've seen it here already since the line opened up so low. We've been seeing money coming down on Auburn. We'll see what happens tomorrow if there's a big Kentucky buyback. But, you know, I just feel like this is the time to go in on Auburn. Another game tomorrow night. We've got UCLA versus Stanford. Stanford, 6.5-point favorites here. I don't know what to make of this Stanford team because it seemed like at the beginning of the year it was going to be all defense. Then they poured it on with a bunch of offense. So I'm kind of in between with them. I think it's a really good matchup for UCLA, though. So I want to take the points here. They're getting 6.5. How do you look at these two teams?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I definitely think that the points you made are definitely the same mindset that I had heading into it when you had sent, you know, the games you wanted to talk about and see what was going to happen. But, yeah, I'm right there with you on this one. Don't really have much to object to it at all.
Yeah, this I don't know if I trust UCLA that much, but I just have a feeling that they are turning the corner where Stanford may have peaked already on this season. So we'll see what happens. But we're gonna lock it in. UCLA plus 6.5. That's going to be a two-unit play. Again, weekday game. Let's keep it light. Nothing too heavy on it. Now, Saturday, we've got three or four games that I wanted to talk about. The first one, 7:30 kickoff between USC and Notre Dame. USC dismissed their head coach this past week. It sounds like it was a big disaster. USC is in a lot of trouble with the program right now. When you look at the amount of talent that they had and the amount of expectations, yet they're really not able to live up to it. I see this being a turning point for this USC team, though, because of the amount of talent that they have. So they're going in to face the Irish here. But Notre Dame hasn't been, you know, just destroying good teams. They've been playing close games against good teams. They've been winning a lot of them. But, you know, do you think that Notre Dame can cover 6.5 here? That's the real question.
I really do like Notre Dame at home. I think USC, like you said, has been a little bit of a disappointment. I know at the beginning of the season, I had taken the under in total wins for Notre Dame, I believe at 9 games. And, you know, so far they've just played really well. I didn't think that they had a chance against Georgia Tech. You were thinking the opposite way. You ended up being right. So I think for this one, being in South Bend, I think that Notre Dame gets it done. You know, USC has always been a rival for them, and I think they like to get it done against them, especially when they are playing in South Bend at home. So I like that -6.5 for Notre Dame. And I was thinking about taking that under of 60.5 as well. I think it'll be more of a slugfest than really just an all-out points battle.
See, I'm actually thinking the opposite, I guess, on both sides of this one. I'm thinking the over 65 is the better play. The reason I do is the guy that got promoted for USC was the offensive coordinator. So I look at him basically being handcuffed while there was a drunk man running the team the last couple of weeks, and that's why USC's offense has struggled. I think that this week he is going to try to prove that he needs to be the head coach of this team. I think he's going to go out and basically turn this into a shootout to show that his offense is as good as advertised at the beginning of the season. So I'm leaning on the over right now. I know that is a lot of points. I typically don't take overs when they're in the 60s. But, you know, Notre Dame has played some pretty high-scoring games this year. When you look at what they did last week against Navy, you know, the game when they were at Clemson, that one was a little tough. They kept that one a little lower. But this is a game I feel USC really breaks out of their offensive slump. So we've got some other action going on. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, especially, you know, with him being the offensive coordinator being promoted, that he definitely will be looking to put some more points on the board, like you said, to show that basically a drunk man was in control while he was sitting on the sidelines. So definitely Definitely, I think you're right with them putting more points on the board. I still just like Notre Dame at home against USC. I think there's a storied rivalry, and they'll be looking to get it done at home.
Yeah, it's you got that right about the rivalry, and that's one thing I do like about it. Yeah, when it comes to the over, though, it's really more or less of just a feeling for me that I'm kind of going by because of the situation that they're in. So, and if I remember correctly, this is the new head coach's second stint as the interim head coach for USC. So I thought that was kind of interesting, too, that he's stuck around all this time. So the next game I wanted to talk about, Penn State at Ohio State, a Big Ten battle. We've got Ohio State coming in here, 17-point favorites against this Penn State team, which, you know, the first couple of weeks looked rough, but I think they're kind of making a little bit of a run here, looking like a competent team. Do you have a feeling one way or the other right now with Ohio State? I mean, I don't think that they're living up to expectations, not that they probably could have with the amount of expectations that were there, but they just don't look crisp like they did late in the season last year.
Yeah, I think you're right on with that analogy. I don't think that they've really been like world beaters, just absolutely dominating people like we thought they would. I know in that first game of the season when they played Virginia Tech and they were down at the half, everybody was kind of like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Is Virginia Tech the team that has their number? And they just came out and really crushed them in the second half. But since then, we haven't really seen them just dominating people by like 40 points or anything like that, where a lot of their spreads for their games have been really high. So this one scares me a little bit, being at that 17 points. I'm looking more towards the over on this game, actually, than the actual spread. I think that both teams will put points on the board. I don't think Ohio State's defense has really been that great as of yet this season. So I'm looking at that 47 and thinking about taking that over. What are your thoughts on this one?
I agree with you on that. And it's interesting. I was looking at some numbers. It looks like it's moved down from 48 to 47. So there is a little bit of a buy down on the point total, which means, you know, I'm thinking if I can get this down to 46, maybe 46 and a half, that's probably when I'll jump in on taking the over. You know, Ohio State's reminding me a lot of Florida State last season, where they came off of winning the BCS title. They won the final one. And then they returned a lot of starters, including James Winston, and he struggled throughout the year. And he, you know, in a similar way, I'm happy you mentioned that Virginia Tech game where they came out and they were losing in the first half. Remember last year how Florida State didn't cover a first half line for like the first 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something like that? I mean, they were not very good in the first half. I don't know if it's a lack of focus because you did win the title the year before. And you kind of look at that as like the culmination of your college career, and then you have to come back and play another season in college. I don't know if there's some psychology built to it. I don't know what it all is. But this Ohio State team is kind of reminding me of that, where, yeah, they're undefeated, but they don't seem very interested that early in games, and they've let teams like Western Michigan and Northern Illinois hang around when they should have been really taking it to them early on in the game. So I agree that the point totals or the spread's probably something to stay away from in this one at 17. I do like over 47, so let's go ahead and lock that one in. You want to go 3 units on it?
Let's do it. 3 units sounds good to me.
All right, locking that one in. And we've got time for one more game. Let's see, I threw out – what was the other one? It was another Big Ten matchup, I think.
Purdue at Wisconsin.
Yeah, you want to talk about that one, or do you got something else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I know that was one that you had thrown in there. When I looked at it, I was like, man, he's really looking at Midwest games this weekend. So that's when I took a look at that Pac-12 matchup with Utah and Arizona State. I think Utah being the number four team in the country now, they've had some really good wins. I like them at home against Arizona State, -6.5. I think that's perfect for them. I think that they can take it to Arizona State if they really want to. I know Arizona State does have a decent offense where they're getting a lot of yards per game, but they're not really putting up as many points as Utah, and their defense is allowing more points per game as well. So I like Utah in that one at -6.5, and I do like the over of 56 as well.
So this line opened at 7. We've seen a little bit of an Arizona State buy down. The point total opened at 56. It's still sitting there. So I do like, I'm with you on the over. I like that one. And, I definitely like Utah giving the points here. Their offense has been good. I mean, they've been able to do a lot. Arizona State's defense, I've not been very impressed with, although they have had some good moments. Yeah, I'm on board with both of those. So let's do it up. 3 units on both?
That sounds good to me.
All right, 3 units, Utah, -6.5. That one is locked in. We are also going over 56, and that will be a 3-unit play as well. So those are locked in on Capper Tech. We've got NFL action, and it starts tomorrow night with an NFC South battle between the Falcons and the Saints. What's going on with the Saints right now? Because I can't quite figure this team out, although I do know they're not very good, and I know they really miss Jimmy Graham in that offense because they just don't have that guy who they can go to that's a stand-up receiver.
Yeah, we've seen their offense change quite a bit over the past few seasons where they've let guys go. I think Jimmy Graham was a huge, huge part of their offense. Really that go-to guy for Drew Brees as he was losing, you know, different receivers, his running backs out of the backfield. Jimmy Graham was always the fixture there for him. And without him being there with some struggles on the offensive line, we're seeing a digression in their offensive weaponry, and they're really not getting the job done anymore, whereas we have Atlanta that's really just shocking people right now, being undefeated heading into this game. I think playing at the Dome definitely helps Atlanta. It used to be a feared place, but the Saints are starting to look like the Aints again. They're really not super like they used to be.
Well, and on that subject, you know, you look at the Saints and the trade seems like a horrible trade so far on both sides. Because Jimmy Graham, they've not been able to do anything with him in Seattle. They haven't figured out that he should not be an inline tight end. They need to get him split outside. They're underutilizing him there. The Seahawks are really missing Max Unger, who, although has been okay with the Saints from what I've been able to see, you know, it's not like their offensive line is all that great. So, you know, this seems like just a bad trade overall. My concern with the Falcons, and I've played the Falcons a lot this year, is we saw them maybe slip up last week. Maybe we just saw a little bump in the road. But they had a very, very good matchup against Washington. And they struggled for most of that game to get a lead and to keep the lead. It was the first time we've seen their defense struggle. It was the first time we've seen their offense struggle like that. You know, I'm not quite sure if it was just Julio Jones getting a little banged up there. But what I'm worried about in this game is they're 3.5-point favorites. It's a short week. They're on the road. And it's one of these divisional games where these divisional games between these two teams tend to be really close. So I'm a little hesitant to jump all over the Falcons at -3.5, although everything that I'm looking at points to the Falcons having an easy victory. What am I missing about this game, or what am I talking myself out of, you think?
Yeah, I think definitely what you said with Julio Jones being a little bit banged up. Other than that, I don't see a reason really to shy away from taking those 3.5 points. I also like the over of 52 in this one as well. Atlanta has been a little bit better on the defensive end this season, but, you know, you are playing in New Orleans. That Saints offense has been known to put up quite a few points. Their defense not looking great, which has a lot of people questioning the coaching staff and Sean Payton's whole game plan going in week by week. But I like Atlanta. I'm not really seeing anything that's twisting my arm the other way. But if you're hesitant on it, I can definitely wait until we get a little bit closer to game time tomorrow and see if we want to lock that in.
I kind of want to see if the Saints get bought down to 3. Because if they get bought down to 3, then I'd buy the Falcons down to 2.5. And I'd feel better being on that side of a field goal than being on the big side of a field goal. As much as I don't think the Saints can compete in this game, I'm just a little scared because of where the line is. I felt like this should be a lot higher. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm overthinking this one, but I think I'd feel much better about getting the Falcons at -2.5 than at 3.5 if we can get it to go down. So I think we should wait on that. Now, for the over, for the point total, 52 seems high from a Saints offense that struggled. And I know we should get a lot of points out of the Falcons, but we know Julio Jones was banged up a little bit Sunday. They're on a short week, so he doesn't have a full week of recovery. I'm hesitant to play the over in this one only because of the injuries that the Falcons have and the lack of anything that the Saints seem to have right now. So are you good passing on that one and waiting to see if we can get the Falcons at -2.5?
Definitely. I think the point that you brought up with being on the right side of the field goal, that makes a lot of sense for this game.
All right. So we will do that. We're going to lock it in, hopefully at 2.5, but we're going to wait and see where it goes tomorrow. Next game that I wanted to discuss was it Denver-Cleveland? Was that where we were going?
I know that's one that I had.
About that one.
Yeah, I know that's one I had thrown out because I liked Denver last week as well, and you kind of talked me out of it. But the other two we had on the docket were Cincy at Buffalo and Houston at Jacksonville.
Well, let me explain why I talked you out of Denver last week and why I felt good. Even though they did cover, I was very happy to pass on that. And the reason is they were 4.5-point favorites on the road, and Oakland came out and played that game. They put up a pretty good game defensively. They put up a game on offense that fit the defensive game plan, and, you know, they were right there. It was 9-7 until they threw a pick six late in the game. And if Janikowski doesn't miss 2 field goals in the first half, that's a 16-13 game. So I don't want to say that I don't like breaking down each little bit of a game and say, well, they would have covered it this or they would have covered it that. But it just shows you that the Broncos offense is not, you know, I'm not willing to trust the Broncos offense for something more, for laying more than 3 points, as good as their defense has been. And it's because I just don't trust Peyton Manning, especially on the road. And this is the second of a back-to-back road games for them. So that's why I don't trust them laying 4.5 points here again. Not that I feel that great about the Browns, but, you know, it just comes down to trust. I'm not willing to trust the Broncos here. So let's move on to Cincinnati. This game opened at 2.5. We saw it go up to 3, maybe even 3.5. Tyrod Taylor, the news came out that he sprained his MCL, so it's very possible that the Bills are not going to have him at quarterback. It's going to be EJ Manuel. Bengals have moved up to 3.5. I've seen it back down at 3. Right now I'm looking, I see -3, and the juice is -125, so this may be going back up pretty soon. What are you seeing with Buffalo that would lead people to continue betting this regardless of the quarterback situation?
I think that Buffalo defense, I think a lot of people have been taking a notice to the fact that Rex Ryan has improved it ever so slightly because they were good in years past. But, you know, they played against some good teams in New England where they weren't really beat up. You know, I know they put up some garbage points against New England towards the end of that game. But even so, they showed that they can put some points on the board and, you know, they're not going to let people just run over them in that nature that they had, you know, years ago. But over the past few seasons, I've seen them improving. For me, I like Cincinnati in this game. A lot of people are asking if the Bengals are for real. I think this is a game where they really show people that they are for real. And I like them with that 3-point favorite at that minus 125 before it really does kick up.
I actually locked this one in after I heard the Taylor injury. I locked it in at -3.5. I did an 8-unit play, so that's what our official play is. Now, what my worries with Cincinnati in this game, I think they're a far superior team to Buffalo. I think Buffalo is kind of riding on that Rex Ryan reputation, which sometimes tends to be bigger than it's deserved to be. But my concern with Cincinnati here is they just had a really big win against the Seattle Seahawks last week at home, and now we're going to see how they go on the road after a big win. Now, it's not like this team is an upstart team. I mean, they've made the playoffs 4 straight years. They're 5-0 right now, so, I mean, they're the real deal. But they're still let down games, and they're still games that you look back at the end of the season, you think, boy, we could have won an extra game or two right here. I'm worried that this is the game. I don't think it's going to be. That's why I bet it. And especially if the Bills are starting E.J. Manuel at quarterback, I don't see them being able to cover 3.5 points. So Cincinnati, 8 units. That's, I think, my lock of the week right now. So last week, the lock of the week was Cincinnati -2.5 against Seattle. They came back and won that one. So we'll see, you know, next Monday where this one is. But I think Cincinnati is another lock this week. So let's get that one in if you guys have not already. Finally, we've got time for one more game. Was it going to be New England versus Indy?
That game I'm kind of staying away from. I think, like you said in your email earlier, I think that Tom Brady's really to come in with that FU attitude and really take it to the Colts and show that that AFC championship wasn't really a fluke. Indianapolis has been kind of stumbling this year, so I like the Pats. I don't think it'll be too much of a competition, but it's one that I'm kind of easing on before I make a final decision.
All right, yeah, it's currently sitting at 7.5. I saw it down to 7. I saw it all the way up to 9.5 today. This line is all over the place. I got in at 7 because I felt like that was a real good number regardless. And we'll see. Even if luck plays, I just don't think the Colts have what it takes to get this one done. But the last play, let's talk about it real quick. We've got the Houston Texans at the Jaguars. Jags were 2-point favorites earlier today. This game is now even. So there's been a lot of money rolling in on Jacksonville. Last week there was a decent amount of money rolling in on Jacksonville at Tampa. They come home this week. You know, the Texans are on 10 days rest. I originally liked the Jags. Now I'm starting to lean on Houston because I think that if they don't have anything to cover, I feel a lot better about them. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, that was my thinking of it at the end as well. I like Houston. I think Brandon Hoyer has shown those flashes that he showed in Cleveland. I think they can get it done. And Jacksonville really disappointed me against Tampa Bay last week when I thought they should have gotten it done.
Yeah, right with you on there. All right, guys, so let's lock. I think we're going to lock in Houston. That one is one of the plays on the Spread TV, so make sure you go on there. I'll have the official play. That'll be posted Saturday afternoon. You can check it out. It's on YouTube. Just type in the Spread TV, and you will find our videos on there. Also going to have a college football video, like usual. So go on there. watch, subscribe, and enjoy, guys. Catracho, it was fun. We didn't even get to cigars today, but we're going to have to get back into that because I feel like we're breaking the habit, and that's not good. So
any last words of wisdom?
You've got 10 seconds.
No, just make sure you guys